Welcome back to Reflections. Your host, Jorge Gonzalez, and my guest today is Bill Mann. We went over, you know, the philosophy of reunions and how they change and the importance of them, and then we went into critical stages in our lives. So I found it fascinating. A world-class lawyer with a huge firm, you know, having a complete change in spirituality, which is proven in many of these studies on longevity and the good life and what's well-being as one of the critical components. Spirituality and religion, sometimes religious, sometimes just pure believing in something supreme being and all. And what I want to sort of go into now is the change in philosophy. Last week we were discussing in this program this Sanford professor and basically saying that to her students, saying that you're told that this is the best part of your life, and I got news for you. It's not. This is one of the most difficult periods of your life, and the students really started, you know, really relaxed, because here they are, stressed out, full of anxiety. There's an article in yesterday's. We're recording on Tuesday because the end of a reunion, I'm not going to be able to get involved. So we're recording on Tuesday morning, and there's this an article on "Tenemos que escuchar su voz" is basically how the youngsters and students and all are just having incredible problems, psychology, and going to the hospital, psychiatric hospitals and all. And so we're discussing that the Stanford professor saying that the mental stability improves as you go, and the best years really are in the 60s and 70s, et cetera. And so I just wanted to have your take on, you know, both youth going from Andover. Some people continue to say that those were the best years. But your take on the development through these different stages and where you are now. Tell the listeners, tell me your philosophy of life. They're kind of terror listening to mine.
Well, several things sort of come to me, but one of which is we all have different phases of life. So in my 40s, my kids are beginning to grow, and so you want to get them to a point where they become self-sufficient. So once that's occurred, so it turns out I ended up with two kids at Andover. My oldest son, actually, sort of, he knows the story, but he was very much like me. He was gliding through a local high school and not challenged, brilliant, much smarter than me. And I just felt like he wasn't achieving the kind of he wasn't being challenged, so I thought Andover might be the thing. It turns out that was Josh Minor's last year as admissions officer, so we flew up and got interviewed, and I wasn't sure if we'd get in, but he got in, and probably the smartest thing I did is I got him to repeat the second year, lower year, the sophomore year, it would normally be called, and because I was afraid that he had sort of glided through, and for him to get into Andover where things are probably at a different level, he would, you know, you just don't need to struggle academically. And so he got there, and he actually struggled too. And it was mostly social. I think we talked about that last night, that he was a kid from the South, and we lived in North Carolina, and, you know, a good percentage of the students at Andover are from the Northeast, and so he was a misfit. And so he struggled, and so anyhow, I think you turn your focus from your kids, and his struggles turned out fine. He almost did like I did. We came home Thanksgiving, and he hadn't been to class for 2 weeks.
Wow.
And you know, my sis and I looked at each other like, well, you know, news to us. And then we got him to finally, you know, open up, and struggled with him. And I found a German professor that took him under his arm and said, I've had the same problem with my daughter. I'll be glad to help him. And so he guided them. He found out that my son was creative and that he introduced him sort of to drama and the music and the arts.
Okay.
And he found folks that were like him.
Okay.
You know, and so he finally connected. So he did fine. I mean, it was, and so he had that same struggle. And then my daughter, on the other hand, we had her at a private school in Raleigh at St. Mary's, and Bill was at Andover, and we went to back-to-back parents' weekends. And we went to hers first and listened to the teachers, and then we went to Andover. And this is the first time my wife had ever stepped on the campus and listened to the teachers. And so we're flying back from the Andover parents' weekend, and she turns to me and she said, "It's not fair for Bill to have this opportunity and not offering it to our daughter."
Right.
And this is back, you know, when we were there, it was just boys.
Right.
So it went co-ed. And I'm thinking to myself, well, this is the throwaway. She'll never get in, which she did. And so she just, you know, she was above it all. The only thing, the only big adjustment for her, and I remember this like it was yesterday, she called, it was like October 7th. And she said, "Dad, it's cold here." And I said, she said, "Nobody else thinks it's cold, but it's cold here." And I said, "This is October 7th. I said, "Just wait."
The worst is just to come.
You have seen nothing yet. So then, you know, so they get, you know, so they grow, they get their careers, they get married, and so now the focus turns to grandparenting. And that's been sort of our large focus. And I wrote a post on this, which was titled Fingerprints. And I never really knew my grandparents. Long story, sis knew more of hers because she grew up in North Carolina, but my grandparents lived on the West Coast, and you just didn't travel back and forth.
Right.
So I only probably saw them two times when I became an adult, and then they passed away. And, you know, I felt like I missed something. So now I'm a grandparent thinking, I don't want to miss that mm-hmm. with my grandkids. I want them to know who we are. So I talked about, you know, when you see these crime shows, fingerprints are latent. You don't know that it's on there till they dust for it, but they're there.
Right.
They're there. So we wanted to leave latent fingerprints on our grandkids. And so we've done that by, we sort of came up with the idea with one of the grandchildren to try and do trips with them without their parents. So we took my twin grandsons were good soccer players, and they were playing in they lived in D.C., playing in a soccer tournament in Barcelona. So he says, "Dad, you and Mom want to come, you know, to see this?" And we said, "Sure." And so the next thing I know, my wife says, "Well, why don't we take one of the cousins with us?" So we picked Sarah. So Sarah's 13, and you know, it hit us. This is just a great opportunity. So we basically had the two boys. My son's youngest daughter was there and his wife. And then we had Sarah with us. And so I said to Sarah, I said, "Sarah, you know, Europe is pretty close together. So we're going to go to Spain, but, you know, is there anything else you want to see?" And she said, "Well," and they called me Land Daddy. That was, which is, that's my grandfather name, which is a compression of Liz's daddy and granddaddy. And my oldest granddaughter gave it. So it was Land Daddy. She said, "Well, Land Daddy, I'd love to see, Westminster and Big Ben." And I said, "Okay." So we, you know, London, got that. You know, anything else? "Well, the Eiffel Tower would be interesting." Like, okay. So by the time we were through, it was 11 flights, 10 hotels, 5 rented cars in 7 countries.
just with her.
Just with her.
Yeah.
And we just had a great day. It was just a great relationship builder. And she kidded me. She said, "Land Daddy, your favorite store is the ATM machine." Because I was always having to get cash. So that was one. And then my oldest son had a friend who was actually a roommate, a classmate from Andover, who had this dude ranch in Wyoming called 7Ds. So we took the four boys, our grandsons, we have five granddaughters and four grandsons on a to there, and that was just great fun. And then, sadly, because Bill was the older child, he had older kids, and we tried to figure out something with them, but they were both musical. So we took them on a tour starting in Nashville to music venues, ending up in New Orleans, and drove mm-hmm. around. And then the last one was kind of the funniest one. The two young ones, Francis and Maggie, wanted to go back to the Dude Ranch. So we said, okay. And then my wife's sitting there thinking about my son-in-law, Ben, who's a doctor in Raleigh. And she said, you know, having been there, that is his environment. He loves the outdoors. He loves to hike. Why don't we have him come? So, okay, he's coming. Well, then my other son, whose daughter's in the mix, says, well, if he's coming, I'm coming. Well, then my third son, who doesn't have a child in the mix, says, well, if they're coming, I'm coming. So we had my two sons, a son-in-law, and the two girls out at the Dude Ranch on my nickel, of course, which is okay. I mean, that was fun to do that. It was just a great time.
Yeah, so what you're saying is, besides the spirituality change and getting all involved, the importance of family, of family relationships, and you know, of course you've spent with this Mentor Link a lot of time mentoring youth, but you have to start with a family, and grandparent is a challenge because you want them to love you and yet you have to somewhat discipline, but you can't discipline the way you discipline your kids. You got to discipline in a different way. It's a challenging role, but it's exciting. By coincidence, you've had three kids. I have four. We have four, and you have nine, and I'm just born my tenth. So we're pretty close. We're pretty darn close. But I agree wholeheartedly with you that the parenting first, and then grandparenting is critical. There was a person in a program by coincidence yesterday, Hermes Croato, doesn't mean anything to you, but her name is Alessandra Lugaro, has a very good interviews of celebrities, and said, you know, usually says, you know, what is your legacy? What do you want your legacy to be? She didn't have to ask this person because it was very clear in his interview how critical where relationships from his friends and his family, and that what he wanted to leave with people who really loved him, that he really, you know, related with and all. And you know, and the studies that have been undertaken on well-being and happiness, the family relationships and the friendship relationships are by far the most critical criteria for achieving. So that's that. I think what you're saying.
Yeah, I agree with that. You'll get a chuckle at this. So somebody told me this, and it's not original, but they said, you know what grandparents and grandchildren have in common? They have a common enemy.
Oh my goodness! My goodness, that's kind of cynical, but
you sort of think, well, let me think about that. Yeah, it's okay. I get that.
We have a grandson spending about six, seven months, and he in the farm, and you meet him on Thursday, sweet kid, but you know, very, he has his own way of doing things, and you have, as a grandparent, what I would be doing as a parent would be very different.
Yeah.
What my role is, and Pinky and I are struggling with how much to get into what are her concerns, you know, and what we think, you know, should be brought to his attention, let's say, you know.
Yeah.
And it's such a delicate balance to be a grandparent. We only have a minute. I like these quotations in the newspaper, and it just came out on Monday. It's on Monday, and it says, "La felicidad de tu vida depende de la calidad de tus pensamientos." That's by Marco Aurelius, and by coincidence, I mentioned you know him. I mean, you've read about him, and it's your happiness in life, you know, depends on the quality of your thoughts, And so, as you know, just, we have a minute, you know, what are your, you know, your last thoughts in terms of, you know, to the listeners out there, as you're approaching, you know, 81, approaching the last years of our lives, what are your last thoughts?
For me, you never stop learning. And one of the things I do this collation of articles, and I read a lot, and I learn something every day. And I think that's probably good mentally. You know, I had a brother-in-law who died of Alzheimer's, and I think that's probably one of the bigger scares anybody would want to have, to see somebody deteriorate like that. So keeping your mind active, I think, is a key. So I have a lot of interests, and reading's one of them, and learning's one of them, and I think that keeps me young in many ways.
So you know, the mantra that I had, I sent you the aging successfully, but the goal is to die young as late as possible. So I think that kind of sums it up. So we've run out of time. Bill, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, George.
For coming to Puerto Rico and joining this reunion.
My pleasure.
And thank you for your friendship. And I look forward to having some more discussions that we can learn from each other, which is what's critical in this life. And these relationships are really enriching, and I think they're critical. So, listeners, the end of the program. Cuídense, que Dios los bendiga. We'll see you next week. Take care.
Allegro WIPR 91.3 FM was proud to present Reflections, hosted by Jorge González, reflecting on events with our well-being in mind.